Chapter 26, Battling Against Disease. Historical note, our people are generally waking up to the subject of health, wrote Elder James White in an editorial in the Review, December 13, 1864, and they should have publications on the subject to meet their present wants at prices within the reach of the poorest. He announced early issuance of a series of pamphlets under the general title, Health or How to Live. The strong conviction of Elder and Mrs. White that the reforms to be outlined in these pamphlets were of great importance is thus expressed in a note in the Review, January 24, 1865, calling attention to the publication of the first of the series. We wish to call the attention of the brethren everywhere to these works prepared with special care on the important subject of a reform in our manners of life, which is greatly needed, and as we view it, will surely be accomplished in whatever people will find themselves at last prepared for translation. During the first 5 months of 1865, this series was completed. These health pamphlets, six in number, contained articles from Mrs. White on disease and its causes and on allied subjects, and many extracts from the writings of various physicians and others interested in health reform principles. Hygienic recipes were included, also hints on the use of water as a remedial agency, the harmful effects of alcohol, tobacco, tea, and coffee and spices, and other stimulants and narcotics were further emphasized. The winter of 1864 and 65 was a time of stress and trial. While uniting with his wife in the preparation of matter on health and temperance for publication, Elder White found it necessary to labor untiringly in behalf of Sabbath keepers who were being drafted for service in the army. This work was attended with perplexity and anxiety and drew heavily upon his sympathies, besides overtaxing his physical strength. The administrative cares in the session of the General Conference held in May 1865 added to his weariness. Worn with the labors of writing and publishing and of looking after many interests connected with the general work, Elder White and his wife were nevertheless given no rest. Immediately after the conference session, they were called to Wisconsin and Iowa, where they endured many hardships. Soon after their return to Michigan, he was stricken with partial paralysis. On account of this affliction and of the impetus it indirectly brought to the health reform movement a few months later, is given by Mrs. White in the Review, February 20 and 27, 1866, a portion of which forms the text of this chapter, The Sickness of Elder James White. On one morning, as we were taking our usual walk before breakfast, we stepped into Brother Lunt's garden, and while my husband attempted to open an ear of corn, I heard a strange noise. Looking up, I saw his face flushed and his right arm hanging helpless at his side. His attempt to raise his right arm was ineffectual. The muscles refused to obey his will. I helped him into the house, but he could not speak to me until in the house he indistinctly uttered the words, "Pray, pray." We dropped on our knees and cried to God, who had ever been to us a present help in time of trouble. My husband soon uttered words of praise and gratitude to God because he could use his arm. His hand was partially restored, but not fully. My husband and myself felt the need of drawing near to God, and as by confession and prayer we drew near to God, we had the precious assurance that He drew near to us. Precious, exceedingly precious, were these seasons of communion with God. The first 5 weeks of our affliction we spent at our own home. For wise purposes, our Heavenly Father did not see fit to raise my husband to immediate help in answer to our earnest prayers, although he seemed preciously near to comfort and sustain us by his Holy Spirit. Sojourn at Dansville, New York. We had confidence in the use of water as one of God's appointed remedies, but no confidence in drugs. But my own vital energies were too much exhausted for me to attempt to use hydropathic remedies in my husband's case, and we felt that it might be duty to take him to Dansville, New York, where he could rest and where we could have the care of those well skilled as hydropathic physicians. We dared not follow our own judgment, but asked counsel of God, and after prayerful consideration of the matter, decided to go. My husband endured the journey well. We remained in Dansville about 3 months. We obtained rooms a short distance from the institution and were both able to walk out and be in the open air much of the day. Every day except Sabbath and first day, we took treatment. Some may have thought that when we went to Dansville and placed ourselves under the care of physicians, we had given up our faith that God would raise my husband to health and answer to prayer. But not so. While we did not feel like despising the means that God had placed in our reach for the recovery of health, we felt that God was above all, and that He who had provided remedial agencies would have us use them to assist abused nature to recover her exhausted energies. We believed that God would bless the efforts we were making in the direction of health. Seasons of prayer and blessing. 3 times a day we had special seasons of prayer for the Lord to restore my husband to health and for His special grace to sustain us in our affliction. These seasons of prayer were very precious to us. Our hearts were often filled with unspeakable gratitude that in our affliction we had a Heavenly Father in whom we could trust without fear. December 4, 1865, my husband passed a restless night of suffering. I prayed by his bedside as usual, but the Lord was not pleased to send relief. My husband was troubled in mind. He thought that he might go down into the grave. He stated that death had no terrors for him. I felt intensely over the matter. I did not believe for a moment that my husband would die, but how was he to be inspired with faith? I prayed God to guide me and not suffer me to take one wrong step, but to give me wisdom to choose the right course. The more earnestly I prayed, the stronger was my conviction that I must take my husband among his brethren, even if we should again return to Dansville. In the morning, Dr. Lay called, and I told him that unless there should be a decided improvement in the case of my husband in 2 or 3 weeks, at most, I should take him home. He answered, "You cannot take him home. He is not able to endure such a journey." I answered, "I shall go. I shall take my husband by faith, relying upon God, and shall make Rochester my first point, tarry there a few days, and then go on to Detroit, and if necessary, tarry there a few days to rest, and then go on to Battle Creek." This was the first intimation my husband had of my intentions. He said not a word. That evening we packed our trunks, and the next morning we're on our way. My husband rode comfortably. During the 3 weeks that we were in Rochester, much of the time was spent in prayer. My husband proposed sending to Maine for Elder J. N. Andrews, to Alcott for Brother and Sister Lindsay, and to Roosevelt, requesting those who had faith in God and felt it their duty to come and pray for him. These friends came in answer to his call, and for 10 days we had special and earnest seasons of prayer. All who engaged in these seasons of prayer were greatly blessed. We were often so refreshed with heavenly showers of grace that we could say, "My cup runneth over." We could weep and praise God for His rich salvation. Those who came from Roosevelt were soon obliged to return to their homes. Brother Andrews and Brother and Sister Lindsay remained. We continued our earnest supplication to heaven. It seemed to be a struggle with the powers of darkness. Sometimes the trembling faith that my husband would grasp the promises of God, and sweet and precious was the victory then enjoyed. Christmas evening, as we were humbling ourselves before God and earnestly pleading for deliverance, the light of heaven seemed to shine upon us, and I was wrapped in a vision of God's glory. It seemed that I was born quickly from earth to heaven, where all was health, beauty, and glory. Strains of music fell upon my ear, melodious, perfect, and entrancing. I was permitted to enjoy this scene a while before my attention was called to this dark world. Then my attention was called to things taking place upon this earth. I had an encouraging view of the case of my husband. Circumstances did not seem to favor our starting for Battle Creek, but my mind seemed fixed that we must go. We were prospered on our journey. On the arrival of the train at Battle Creek, we were met by several of our faithful brethren who received us gladly. My husband rested well through the night. The next Sabbath, though feeble, he walked to the meeting house and spoke for about 3/4 of an hour. We also attended the communion season in the evening. The Lord strengthened him as he walked out by faith. The long sickness of my husband was a heavy blow, not only to myself and my children, but to the cause of God. The churches were deprived both of my husband's labor and my own. Satan triumphed as he saw the work of truth thus hindered. But thank God he was not permitted to destroy us. After being cut off from all active labor for 15 months, we ventured out once more together to work among the churches.